My name is Jeff McDerris. I am superintendent of schools for Transylvania County Schools here in Western North Carolina.
Okay, and you've been over there since 2009?
Been here since 2009.
Okay.
Well, in this role since 2009. I used to wear other hats in the system at one point.
Oh, okay. What's your background prior to superintendent?
Oh, gosh. I started my teaching career in Western North Carolina in 1983 in the old Hendersonville City School system that's no longer in existence, merged with Henderson County. Taught in Hendersonville City Schools for about 7 years. We merged with the county schools, Henderson County Public Schools. Taught there for another slightly over 7 years, roughly seven, and then an opening occurred in Transylvania County Schools, which is where I'm from, and so started over here in Transylvania in 1997, taught for a year in a classroom, and then went into administration. Have worn several hats over the years, but most prominently, I guess, in terms of administration would be the Director of Career Technical Education, as well as Director of Transportation.
Okay, great. And so I guess, you know, having done it since 2009, you must like it.
Well, you know, I like to tell people that the road's great. Every once in a while, there's a few potholes and bumps and curves, but overall, the road's good. Yes, I do enjoy what I'm doing. Some days are more fun than others, but it's an honor to be in this system. Really, honestly, would not be in the position I'm in if it were not for the schooling that I received as a young student here many years ago. So I enjoy what I'm doing.
That's cool. Do you ever miss hands-on teaching?
Absolutely. Pretty much every day. When I was director of career technical education, I would actually go over to the middle school. I spent a lot of years teaching middle school students, and I would spend time every year a couple of times during a semester going over and teaching a shop safety unit, for example, and I really miss that. That's the one thing when you go into administration, and I think many administrators would agree with me, you as an administrator, you have the ability to affect more than just your classroom, but that interaction on a daily basis with your students in that classroom is something that you miss.
Yeah, I've heard that before from people who've gone on to sort of a higher position like that.
Yes, the advantage, I guess, you on some days is you can go out to different classes and see all sorts of students at different levels and interact for a few moments with many classes. So you get a little bit of the fix of it. It's not quite the same, but I will say this: if you're a school administrator, particularly a superintendent, I think a lot of my colleagues would agree with this. If you're ever having a really challenging or a bad day, go spend about 15 minutes in a kindergarten classroom, and your day's great.
I can understand that.
They're so happy to be there. They don't care who you are. They're just excited to be learning. You know, if we could keep that, and you know, we always try to, but if you could capture that energy and keep it all the way through a 12th grader, it would be. Perfect.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of that, I guess what you're trying to do here is try to keep that energy going when the kids are at home.
That's right. Yes. Virtual days.
Virtual days. So what can you tell me about virtual days? How did this idea come about?
Well, you know, it's been a challenge over some years are more challenging than others, but weather in the mountains is always a challenge, and you miss instructional time. And even when you have a 2-hour or even a 3-hour delay, you pretty much have disrupted a lot of the instructional energy for that day. And so we wanted to try to look at ways where we didn't get into this situation of making up school, making up hours and time. The school calendar legislation, of course, has certain variables that we know we have to meet. And, you know, parents like to have as much information up front as they can. So what we were encountering in Transylvania County was a situation where if you lost instructional time, you were even having to decide to make it up on a Saturday or to take holidays or spring break or add days at the end of the year. And no one likes any of those options. And so we really started looking at our initiative that we began in 2009 to try to go more to one-to-one technologies, and we're still working toward that. We actually have one-to-one all the way down to through sixth grade now. But we wanted to look at some of the new global learning initiatives and realizing that for global education in North Carolina, and we also realized that as our students, as we're preparing them for a new world that's very different from what it was 30 years ago, increasingly they're encountering online education. A lot of students are, you know, they're very visual, they're fast-paced learning. And so we thought, well, how are we going to tap into that and maybe look at solving several problems that we encounter at once? And it struck me one day in talking with some technology folks as we were actually talking about North Carolina virtual public schools and that sort of thing. We thought, well, you know, why can't we do that in Transylvania County? Why can't we tap into the initiatives of involving parents, but at the same time using technology, tapping into that ability for students to learn at home as part of their classroom experience as well as here at school, and make it more than just a busy work or a homework type thing. We wanted to make it meaningful work and tap into that. So looking at the amount of instructional hours that we need to meet and how we're preparing students, we realized that we could spend part of a day providing students with an opportunity to have their schooling at home on a day that we can't have school because of bad weather, and we wouldn't have to make that day up. And it's not just about not making that day up, but it's about what are we doing in that day, and also what are we doing in preparing students for a future where there would be opportunities like that even in the workplace and in college level.
And has this been put into place yet?
Well, yes and no. It's put into place, but we haven't had a chance to try it yet, per se. We did a trial run at Brevard Middle School. We had the teachers, many of them were available online. We had students that had their Chromebooks at home, and we tried to see what it would look like with that type of interaction without being at school. It was a good dry run. We learned some things from that. And just as with any venture, once you try it, you see ways that you can tweak it and make it even better. But it was a good enough experience that we wanted to broaden that for the entire school system. Your high school students in particular, who operate on a block schedule, which is by semesters, you know, this time of year it's very critical as we enter testing season and finish up the time for the semester. Lost instructional time is always a worry for all educators. And so this was a good thing to start developing and preparing for. We're in January, but we haven't had a chance to do a full-blown trial run with the entire system yet. We're going to do that when we have our first spot of snow, and I know it's coming. It's just not here yet.
Yeah, it may be coming in the next few days.
It may. You know, Transylvania County is somewhat unique in the sense that we have mountains here that are just as high as everyone else, but there's an extra wall, so to speak, between us and Haywood County, and so storms sometimes run out of a little bit of energy. So when it comes from the west or from the north, we don't get it as much as some of our neighbors do here in western North Carolina, but if it comes from the south, we usually get it pretty good.
Well, what happens if someone can't go online?
Great question. We wanted to anticipate that, and so we have the ability with the computers, the Chromebooks, for students to be able to download modules and materials that their teachers have developed. In the case of getting home and losing power and not being able to get onto the internet, those students could still be able to, and the batteries on those units are pretty good, those students would still be able to do their work on their computer, even if it was not live with Wi-Fi at the same time. And we also wanted to realize that just as with a student who had to miss a day of school because of something else, we wanted to allow some time to make up that opportunity. And so students would have 5 days to be able to work with their instructor to make up work for those situations that you're going to encounter where power and not being able to get it because of something else going on, you would not be able to get online and do that work that same day.
I see. Okay. And do these days, they count towards the 180 that you need?
Yes, it would. Actually, the it used to be 180 days. Now it's 185.
Oh, I see.
But really, the state legislature a couple of years ago changed what had been in place for many years. It used to say a certain number of days and a certain number of hours for instruction. That has since changed, and now it's a certain number of days or a certain number of hours instruction. So that gives you a little bit of flexibility to meet the hours requirement. And what we decided to do was to prepare our lessons in a manner that would say a half day of work, because we know a half day of school would count as a school day. So with that in mind, we've tried to work with our folks to think in terms of developing about 4 hours worth of work. Now, when you do that, you have to realize that some students are going to knock it out very, very quickly, and some students may take longer. But I know that, in general, many students that we've talked to, and I have a superintendent's communication council of students from our two high schools and our alternative school, they like the thought of being able to get up, do their schoolwork while they're sitting there at home on the couch on the day that they can't be in school, and it to be meaningful work that's gonna further their learning, but at the same time, they don't have to worry about making that day up over spring break or in June.
As far as it counting towards those days, how does that work? Like, did it have to be approved by someone? Like, how do they basically make sure that those hours are made up?
Well, in general, schools are it's somewhat self-reporting. From the standpoint that you keep track as a school system, and I'm sure Buncombe, Henderson, everyone else does the same thing, you keep track as a school system of the number of days missed and, of course, the amount of instructional hours that you miss. And when you have that and you know how many you're supposed to meet, then as the year progresses along, you can keep a running tabulation of how many instructional hours that you have met or lost so that you meet the criteria. I am not aware of anyone who has ever, and this may have happened, but I'm not aware here of anyone who's ever come in and said, you know, you were an hour short at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we do take the learning very seriously, and I'm sure most of my colleagues are like me in that we try to actually exceed what the minimum is.
And you said that you guys did sort of a trial run with Brevard Middle School, and
yes,
that it went pretty well. Were there any problems that you encountered during the dry run?
Some of the problems that you've actually alluded to a little bit, there were some students that had some issues with Internet. What we have found is that when you ask students, do you have access to the Internet at home? Many of them, the majority, will say yes, they do. But when you drill down a little deeper, you find out, okay, some that means that they have Wi-Fi at home. Some that means that they're tapping into their neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Or some that means that, well, when Mom goes to Ingles or someplace like that, I take my computer with me. So when you drill down, you get a little bit better picture. But in general, we had some students that had some difficulty getting on. However, they were able to work on some work on the computer, and then they were able to catch up on the activity. We also had some students that were involved in athletics or other things, and since it was a dry run and not a bad weather day, some of those students, their day was pretty long that particular day.
Mm-hmm. Does this add a lot of work for the teachers who have to put this stuff together for the websites and things?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and that was something that we were worried about, because our teachers' plates, they're very full already. But for many of our instructors, these were some of the things they were already doing. Some teachers at both of our high schools, for example, that and even increasingly in middle school, that put so much of their material online now anyway that they were already in that mode of developing that. So there was some additional work on their part. And then, of course, like with any type of project assignment or even with a homework assignment, there is a time frame that the instructor is going to need to go back through the work to see if it was completed adequately and to be able to provide feedback. And that was an important, and that creates a little bit of extra work, but that was an important criteria for us in that we did not want to just provide busy work. We wanted to provide meaningful work that the students would receive feedback on.
Okay. Do you know, are there any other school systems around the state that are already doing this?
I have heard that there are some that are exploring this. I've heard a couple of other systems. I can't confirm that, but I know there were at least two others, and I'm not sure where they are in that process yet.
What did you use for a model? You kind of talked about sort of these global ideas. Maybe did you just mean sort of online school in general?
Online school in general. And, of course, we're not down. The day is going to come in the not-too-distant future that we're going to see two things in our schools on a regular basis. We're going to see one-to-one devices being used all the way down to kindergarten. That's going to happen. It's an exciting frontier, and we're trying to move toward that too. That's not to replace the classroom teacher, because I don't think you could ever do that. In fact, you would not ever want to do that, because that interaction with the student is so vital and important. But at the same time, you want to provide that as a tool for the teacher to use, and we're going to see that go down to kindergarten. The other thing that you will see, I believe, in the not-too-distant future, you're already seeing that in some communities here in the mountains even, and that is wireless is going to become more readily available as infrastructure improves, and it's going to perhaps not blanket the area because our terrain is challenging, but you're going to see it more widespread. And so with those types of things in mind, as we move toward the future and trying to put our students at a competitive advantage rather than disadvantage, we looked at what can we do to get our students ready for their next level in the workplace and for college, and also in awareness of the state of North Carolina's move toward what they call digital badges, which are right down that same line, students being prepared to interact in a future and an economy that increasingly has blended learning of in-classroom and out-of-classroom. It's basically schooling without walls.
The email that Kevin sent us says that online learning will be for the middle and high school students, and for elementary students, it just says advanced work. So does that mean that elementary students aren't doing anything online?
They're not doing anything with our units online, only because we don't have one-to-one devices in the hands of all of our students from kindergarten through fifth grade yet. And I'll say yet. We're going to try to move toward that eventually.
I see.
But what we did decide to do with that, and elementary usually meets their hours, but we wanted the same type of experience to be able to have students doing some work so that they know that even though we've missed a day of school, there's still a learning opportunity. And so we borrowed an idea from some of our northern neighbors, Ohio in particular. I think they call them blizzard bags. And we have bags for learning that are prepared for those students that the students have activities that will complement their learning for that particular grade level, and they'll receive feedback, and they'll have time. They'll have 5 days to make that up. But those students will have those materials to take with them in case of bad weather. I believe our director of elementary education is already getting those prepared and sending those home, so they're there at the ready.
Do you know how many days that you guys were affected by inclement weather last year?
Last year, not that many. I think we missed approximately, let's see, we missed about 6 or 7 days last year that we couldn't make up. Mm-hmm. But the ironic thing about last year was it was a fairly mild winter. And all of my, I've been in education for 33 years, and I look back, and I don't believe prior to last year we've ever gotten President's Day off. That usually is built into a calendar, and it's taken away because you miss a day somewhere, and you have to end up taking President's Day. Well, last year we had President's Day, and then winter arrived. You may remember that we had an ice storm and two snowstorms here in western North Carolina in a 10-day span, and that was really the entire winter, was just over those 10 days, but it was a pretty hard 10 days. So last year's probably not a good comparison, but in many ways it was reflective of what we can encounter in western North Carolina, where winter can arrive all of a sudden and unexpectedly. My first year as superintendent, 2009 and 10, was the year that we had quite a winter. We missed, I think we missed 10 days of school, and that's with moving days around. We missed 10 days of school. We had 12 days that we had either a 2 or a 3 hour delay. We had some early releases. That was a challenging year, and the learning process was really disrupted for students that year.
Okay, and you've been mentioning hours, so I assume that Transylvania School goes by hours rather than days?
In large part, we do watch the days, but more importantly are the hours, because we want to make sure that we have met both. We would like to go at least 180 days, and we would like to go at least the 1,050 instructional hours. In fact, we want to exceed the hours of instruction. And in a perfect year where you didn't miss school and you went 180 days, you would actually exceed that hours of instruction. But we know that there's going to be times during a year that you miss. With that in mind, last year we did not go 180 days. We had to miss less days because we were constrained by being able to complete the school year and to make up days. Parents in the community, families, you know, make plans over spring break. We try to avoid that when at all possible. And Saturdays, you have an option. You can go on Saturdays as long as it's not in a week that you haven't missed. I mean, if you haven't missed days in a week, you have to be careful about a Saturday, because that would be a sixth day, and your hourly employees, such as custodians and bus drivers and people like that, could exceed the 40 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to be careful about that. And then at the end of the year, you have to be cognizant of being able to get exams finished and also to be able to have graduation. Both of our high schools graduate at the Brevard Music Center, which is probably going to sound a little biased, but is one of the most beautiful venues in western North Carolina. It's a great setting to have a graduation exercise, but they have their summer festival that occurs, and so usually by early June, we can only go so deep into June, and so we can't go too late to add days. And so with all those factors in mind, you really are limited sometimes on when you can make days up and time up.
Yeah, and I assume those two-hour delays do kind of add up.
They do over time. If you have too many of them, they sure will. Over time, they will add up.
Have you guys had any two-hour delays yet?
We have not yet. We've been very fortunate. I actually thought we were going to have one for flooding. You know, Transylvania County sits at the headwaters of the French Broad, and it can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. It doesn't stay flooded long, but it can come up very rapidly. But we've been very fortunate this year. We haven't missed any days or had any two-hour delays.
Well,
so
fingers
far.
Crossed, I guess, for the rest of the winter. I know it's starting to get into that period, it seems like.
It is. It's a little cooler once the ground cools. And of course, I will say this, sort of off the trail we're on right now, sort of off in the weeds. If I had the choice between an ice storm or a snowstorm, give me a snowstorm any day of the week. Nothing works on ice.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not as fun either.
No, it's not. And people lose power in ice situations, which is always concerning.
Yeah, we had some sleet the other day, last night in Asheville, but we haven't seen anything too substantial yet. We had the flooding and stuff too. But when I've been doing the mornings and doing our school delays, I've noticed Avery, Mitchell, Madison, and Yancey seem to be getting the two-hour delays so far.
They are right there on the Tennessee border, and they don't have that extra wall that we do.
Yeah.
So they get it. And sometimes I know Haywood and Swain can get it for the same reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hey, I think those are the questions I had. Is there anything more about this that we didn't talk about that you would like to, or even anything unrelated to virtual days that's
going
on?
Well, just one of the things, when you try to make decisions about things like this, you have to realize some of the other variables that now affect families that perhaps not everyone thinks of. when we miss a day, one thing that concerns us when we miss a day of school or when we have a day that we're not able to have the students come in, unfortunately, that's a day that some students don't eat. We have a lot of students that rely on, we serve breakfast every day in our schools, a universal breakfast where everyone can eat, and we have many students that rely on that hot lunch. And when you don't have school, there are some families that are struggling where those students may not have adequate food. And so that was a concern for us. We actually are looking and working on some plans now, sort of the what-ifs. If we have a prolonged period of time where we don't have school because of bad weather, are there some ways that we can partner with our local sheriff's department to deliver backpack buddies to some of our families that struggle with that? And so that's just some of the variables that go into play that perhaps not everyone thinks about, but it's something that we think about here because we realize that coming to school is not only a learning opportunity, but for many students, it's an opportunity to have a safe, warm location with food.
Have you guys ever done that before, like sent lunches home?
We actually operate a program in the summers where we have certain locations in the county where our child nutrition delivers lunches during the summer to different locations, and students can pick those up. And then over long holidays, such as like the Christmas holiday, we go ahead and preemptively prepare backpack buddies that go home with many students for weekends, but we try to make those a little bit more robust for students to have some things over a prolonged period of time.
How popular are those?
Well, they're very popular.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those numbers that perhaps is a hidden number in our world, but we send home every weekend, it's in triple digits of small meals that are sent home. The food insecurity is always a concern. The thing with learning, and maybe this is getting a little bit off in the weeds from what we were talking about earlier, but the reality is if a student is hungry, then learning's not the first thing on their mind.
Yeah.
So we try to look at that as, something that we can try to help with too. But we have I could not go on and on enough about how we have some community partners, and I know Bunkman, Henderson, and others do too, but the work of people in the community that have a passion for that is just phenomenal, and it's one of the reasons we're able to do it.